Greetings and welcome again to Meditation Moments. We have been talking to you about the ladder of faith, by which if you'll earnestly climb, you can reach the great and mighty things God's word tells us about in Jeremiah 33:3. And last week, we dealt with the firm foundation upon which the ladder of faith must rest, and that's the word of God. For God's word says that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so the ladder of faith must rest on such a firm foundation. It's useless to start up the ladder unless you're going to take God at his word and have your ladder that you climb up to the great and mighty things with firmly planted on that word. It really takes effort and wisdom to climb the ladder of faith and get real answers to prayer. Many people are satisfied with a very mediocre common existence, although the Lord has said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. They're not satisfied climb up to that because it does take such an effort sometimes, and it takes a clean heart and it takes a perseverance. Now, the first round in our ladder is a definite cleansing of the heart. If you come to God for the fulfillment of his promises, you must have a clean heart. He can't pour his blessings into an unclean vessel, for his word says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have boldness to come to the throne of mercy and receive help in the time of need. It's impossible to have boldness if there's condemnation upon the heart. Hidden sin in the life robs the heart of that confidence. God sees the things that are hidden behind the door of the heart, and he can't bless as long as there's unrepented sin in the heart. And so quick, so anxious God is to forgive the repentant heart that he says, the broken and contrite heart he'll not despise. But there's one thing God can't do. That is, he cannot forgive sins which are not repented of. The story is told of two men who were attending a communion service, and the one saw his companion on his knees at the altar partaking of the sacrament. And he whispered to him, Sam, what for you all down on your knees and taking the sacrament when I saw you last night stealing a pig? To his surprise, his friend replied, you all don't think I was going to let a little thing like a pig keep me out of the kingdom, does you? He went right on praying and taking the sacrament. And that's about the attitude of many a heart, that God will overlook a few things here and there and just hide them if they're hidden out of sight. I mean, leave them buried in the past and God will forget them like a debt which is forever forgiven because of lapse of time. But sin's only forgiven when confessed and repented of. All that God asks is obedience to 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sin has to be brought out into the light. In sweet humility, confess to the Lord, and oh, how quickly he forgives and cleanses the moment he sees genuine repentance. Oh, that's the way to start climbing your ladder of faith, because prayer is hindered when there's condemnation upon your heart, that awful pressure that's in your soul when you go to pray and you feel God doesn't hear me and God doesn't answer my prayers like other people. I'm not as good as other people. I'm so unworthy. And those condemnations will definitely hinder your faith and take away your boldness in prayer. Therefore, by a definite act of confession and repentance, you clear away all such hindrance and rid yourself once for all of such condemnation. To the one who has by a definite act of faith put his past with every sin beneath the blood of Calvary, there's no condemnation. True, the enemy of God will try to put condemnation in your heart. But if you obey this scripture, one we just read, 1 John 1:9, he can't do so. God's word says there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. That's the reason the clean heart is so necessary, so that you can come boldly to the throne of mercy. A heart that's truly right with God cannot easily be accused with the devil. Martha Snell Nicholson writes, I sinned, and straightway post haste Satan flew before the presence of the Most High God and made a railing accusation there. He said, this soul, this thing of clay and sod, has sinned. 'Tis true that he has named thy name, but I demand his death. For thou hast said, the soul that sinneth it shall die. Shall not thy sentence be fulfilled? Is justice dead? Send now this wretched sinner to his doom. What other thing can righteous ruler do? And thus he did accuse me day and night, and every word he spoke, O God, was true. Then quickly one rose up from God's right hand, before whose glory angels veiled their eyes. He spoke, each jot and tittle of the law must be fulfilled. The guilty sinner dies. But wait. Suppose his guilt were all transferred to me, and that I paid his penalty. Behold my hands, my side, my feet. One day I was made sin for him and died that he might be presented faultless at thy throne. And Satan flew away. Full well he knew that he could not prevail against such love, for every word my dear Lord spoke was true. Oh, my friend, there's room at the cross for you. God's word makes it so plain. If you turn from sin, they that have sinned, the Savior still waits to open the gates and welcome a sinner before it's too late. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. God will answer prayer for you. He's still on the throne. Prayer changes things.